All right, here we go, man. Here we go. So you're telling me you haven't had an Arizona watermelon in a very long time.
Yeah, it's been quite some time since I had watermelon Arizona. First of all, I'm not happy at the fact that they're not a dollar no more.
Yeah.
That's very weird. I mean, it's, I'm not going to lie, there's still some places that sell them for a dollar. You just got, you got to find them. They're like holding them all places.
But mm-hmm.
A dollar for Arizona has been all my life up until this economy went to shit. So
it's a hard life, man. It's a hard life. I'm tight that they do it. I'm still mad that they did. Actually, I switched up today and I got this. This is like the bottle one, the blueberry white tea. That's what I got. So, you know, I'm excited for that, but that's for tea time. That's for tea time, man.
Yeah, we're not touching that.
No, we're not doing that right now, man. I appreciate you being here. You know, you mentioned you've done a number of podcasts.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I've done a lot. NEPA scene, 98.5 KRD. Oh, KRD. Wow. Let's try that again. NEPA scene, 98.5 KRZ. When Lissa was doing her local music podcast, Alt Natives, when they were still on. I've done a whole bunch of podcasts in the area. Out of the area, I should say.
The thing, okay, so in and out of the area, and one thing that I know about you just from reading, you know, your bio about who you are and music and everything, is that you are not from this area. But bro, nonetheless, it seems like you are running this area. You know, I've seen you affiliated.
I wouldn't say that.
Well, I'd say I've seen you affiliated with a lot of, you know, programs where, like, you know, mm-hmm. you've been here doing this venue or you've done an interview with this person or even, you know, that's Gus the Savage. Like, I feel like I've known the name even before we had this conversation. You know what I mean? So right. You may not feel that way, but no. You're out there.
So put it like this. It's not so much of me running anything. It's a lot of me just putting in the legwork to get my name out there, putting myself in places where you wouldn't normally see people like me or people of the genre of music that I work within. So, you know, I just run myself, you know, I do what I do and I branch out and I talk to people. I talk, like I said, I put myself in places where you wouldn't normally see, a person like, an R&B artist or a hip hop artist. Cause a lot of people still associate me with hip hop cause that's what I started with, but I'm all around now. And I just thank myself for that because if it wasn't for myself actually being dedicated to my career, I wouldn't have gotten as far as I did in the local scene. And a lot of other people contributed to that as well. And they pushed me and helped me get to where I need to be. So I just do work.
You know what I love about that is that you mentioned that you do the legwork. You know, he's out there, he's moving. You're here doing this interview, you know, by yourself nonetheless. So that tells me you do it on your own for yourself, you know, to grow and get bigger on that. So that's great, man. Kudos to you. Welcome to the Middleman Podcast. I am the man in the middle, Kevin Martinez, and I'm sitting here with the man, Gus the Savage. Love the chain, bro.
Thank you. Jeff the Jeweler.
Jeff the Jeweler.
301 Adams Avenue. Get your pendants, rings, grills, chains, whatever. That's where I got mine from.
Swagged out, man. Swagged out. I love it. So, you know, as we were just saying, you know, you just mentioned with music, okay, you're in all types of genres, man. Mm-hmm. You know, when we had this conversation on the phone, it was fantastic. I loved it, man. We had like an hour conversation before we even had the show.
Facts.
Just chopping it up, having a great time. And you were like, oh, so you must think I'm just a rapper. And
yeah,
I'm
like, that was the first thing that came out of my mouth. Yeah. I was like, yeah, no, I'm not. I used to be. That's how I started like years ago. I did my first rap song to the instrumental Started From The Bottom, and I recorded it from one phone to the other phone using my computer speakers. And that song was garbage. But fast forward to now, I do everything. I'm in a band now. I do R&B music. I do pop music. I have put rap on the back burner a little bit because of the community that has been built in this area. Excuse me. It's very toxic. And I say that because some people, without even realizing, are hating on other members of the community with words that they say on the internet, with comments that they make, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lack of unity. And if there is any unity, it's very selective unity. And I didn't want to be a part of that. So that's why I, allowed my versatility to speak for itself. And I branched off into these other genres and I started to have fun with music again, because when it becomes a popularity contest, when the talent is no longer what is sought out for, that's when it becomes a problem. And that's when it starts to become work instead of fun. When you do music is something I love to do. If you love doing it, it's not a job. It's always fun. I started to lose a passion for music, and it stopped being fun once it started to become a popularity contest or who's better, who's the best in the city. I didn't care about that because I wanted to be the best for me, and I also wanted to be one of the best in the world. Being the best in Scranton is not something to really be proud of. Like, where it's still a small town. We're all still locals. We're all still here. Like, I mean, if you want to say you're the best in Scranton, sure, great. Kudos to you. Congratulations. You have labeled yourself the best in Scranton yourself, because nobody else is going to stand up to those statements, because there are other artists who feel the same way you feel. Oh, no, you're not the best. I'm the best. No, you're not the best. I'm the best. And that is something that Gustus Savage is no longer a part of, because I didn't want to be the best in Scranton. I wanted to be one of the best in the world. I wanted to be one of the best entertainers. I wanted to be one of the best artists. I wanted to grow. I wanted to see what it was really like to be a part of a loving collective. And that's where the real NEPA music scene is, where we're accepting all genres. We're accepting rock. We're accepting pop. We're accepting R&B. Even, believe it or not, hip hop is accepted. And I had to find that out as I got out there and performed more. There's this thing where people feel like, oh, nobody pays attention to hip hop. Yeah, I used to feel like that too, many moons ago.
May I ask, is that like a local mindset? You just, yeah, it's a global.
I think that's a local mindset, okay, because hip hop is one of the most popular genres in music to this day.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no denying that hip hop exists. When it comes to how people feel locally, I'll give you an example. So we have the Steamtown Music Awards.
Yes.
Where every genre has a category. But for some reason, even though there is a hip hop category, there are members of the local community that feel, oh, I've been overlooked. Oh, they're not paying attention enough. Oh, this, then that. Bro, they're paying attention. There's literally an option on the Electric City Music Conference website. When these nominees start coming around, they start doing it around April every new year. You can nominate yourself. You can nominate your friends. You can nominate bands. You can nominate whoever you want in that ballot. And if you nominate them enough, guess what? They're on the board.
Here you are. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
So it's not about, oh, I'm not putting in enough work. Oh, they're overlooking me. Oh, they haven't seen me. No, it's literally put out there for you every single year to be a part of. And then,
I'm happy you mentioned that.
Yeah.
Granted, I just had a conversation with, Jack Swish. They just won, upcoming YouTuber award.
It was like podcast, YouTube, vlog of the year.
Yes.
That's what they won.
That's what they won. And congratulations to them. Yes. And that's one thing that, I didn't know, you know, so thanks for letting me know that. Come April, I'm writing that in my calendar, ready to
go.
You know,
I'm
like,
telling you, let's get in there. It's literally right around April or May, they drop the link and say, hey, voting is open, or nominees are open until August.
Mm.
So you have from April to August 31st to get as many nominations in as possible.
Get the name
so
out.
That way the committee can see, oh, okay, this person is persistent. Okay, let's see what kind of work they have. Oh, okay, they have a good work ethic. Oh, they have a social media presence. Oh, this person is established. Okay, nominated for best top 40 band, best podcast, best social media publication, whatever. There's like literally 40 different categories. Like,
I didn't know that, man.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And now that I do know, because honestly, not to mention, like, never not once in my mind did it come to like, damn, I didn't get that award. I didn't get nominated. I didn't hear none of that. I actually thought, like, once I heard that they got nominated and they actually won, I was like, okay, how do we put our names in a hat?
I feel like that's how that everybody should think. Like,
yeah.
I don't think there should, like.
It was total congrats, bro. They're fantastic.
Yeah,
they're
like,
funny as hell,
I was
man.
There you know? For that. Like, I'm chilling, right? And I have my back turned and Jack taps me on the shoulder. He's like, yo, bro, can you hold this for me? And I'm like, oh shit, you won the award. So that was a pretty cool moment that I was there to see. But when it comes to that, like, I feel like everybody should be thinking the same thing. Like, oh, okay, my name didn't get on the ballot this year. How do I go about moving forward, getting my name involved in this for the next year to come around? You know, I mean, you can't say anything to anybody who's young and starting mm-hmm. because their mindset is going to be, fuck this shit, man. They didn't nominate me, and I'm one of the best people. Ah, and they're going to be angry. But, you know, I feel like as time progresses, people will grow and they'll understand what it's like to actually be involved and see how things go down behind the scenes before they can be like, okay, you know, maybe I'm not overlooked. Maybe I just, you know, didn't do what was put in front of me. And it's been like, I've been a part of it for 5 years straight.
Yeah.
Since 2019, 20, 21, 22, 23. Been a part of it only because I nominate myself. I nominate my friends. People nominate me because I'm a workhorse and everybody's a workhorse. So I don't see why all of us aren't nominated for these things because mm-hmm. I put names in from locals. Sour City True. I put his name in. Boom. He was nominated. Hip Hop Artist of the Year. Video of the Year. I put Guapo's name in. Boom. Nominated. Video of the Year. I put my band in. Boom. Nominated. Best New Artist. Believe it or not, like I'm also supporting the local scene too by helping and trying to get as many people nominated as possible. It's not up to me though, only. Because I can't be alone here. You take that link, you share it to all your family members, all your friends, and say, hey, there's a category in here that I would love to be nominated for. Can you just takes 2 minutes? I'm sorry if I'm...
No, you're good. You're good. I got to just make sure the computers are shut off.
I don't mean to do it, but...
You're good.
Dude, it's easy. Easy as fuck, bro. Easy as fuck. And sometimes you don't even have to nominate yourself. Sometimes you get lucky and you're out there enough that they can't deny you anymore. They're like, okay, this guy's working. Let's nominate him for the respected category that he deserves. He or she.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like that because I was like, okay, you know what? 2023 now, like when that happened, when the whole thing went down, I was like, oh, that's right. Okay, they have this awards. I'm like, it's 2023. What did you do? And I'm like, okay, you hit something. You said, oh, it's right in front of you. You've been a part of it for 5 years, right? I've been in this city for maybe 3 going on 4 years. The first 2 years, I think I more so indulged in the party scene than the actual supporting scene and the, you know, just seeing what's around, you know, seeing what's up and coming in this area. This year though, I've been going out a little bit more, going out to the Keystone Stage, going out to the V-Spot, yeah. NEPA
Keystone
scene,
Stage, baby.
You know, checking out all of that.
I was, Keystone Stage Performing Artist of the Year in 2022. So I know a lot about a Keystone Stage.
You got this one accolade that I saw in your bio that I was very interested in. It was best virtual performance.
Oh yeah.
Talk to me about that. Hold on. What was that virtual performance? That's a very unique award there.
Believe it or not, this is after COVID. Like this is, you know, last year. Best virtual performance, the Keystone Stage does this thing where sometimes for events, they live stream,
yeah, okay,
the performances. Mm-hmm. So that being a virtual performance, I submitted that performance to Access NEPA for their Best of Awards, and I pushed the votes every single day. Believe it or not, your boy walked out of there with Best Virtual Performance and Best New Album of that year.
Fire.
So, and that again goes to show, like, I found the link myself, submitted myself, voted every day. Not only me voting for myself, but I had my people voting for me too. Come together as a collective, as a big unity, we can get a lot more done. There's so many people here, bro. So many different artists, different acts, different personalities, that if you put us all in one room and said, create, it's done.
They're gonna go nuts.
Exactly.
They're gonna go nuts.
Exactly.
It's gonna be a freaking session. That's something, you know, in my perspective, I've always said I want to put on a festival. That's something that I've talked about. Definitely looking forward to coordinating something like that. But that's what I want to involve and funnel through that festival would just be creators upon creators upon creators, you know. So that's us, you know, that's definitely great. This local scene is fantastic. It's up and coming. You've been a part of it for a very long time. but you know, we got to talk about your music. You know, okay. We talk about the music genres, you know, who you are, where you're transitioning to, Gusta Savage. You know, I got so many questions, man. You're a real fun artist. You're funny. You're real.
I wouldn't say
that. No, I'd say you're funny. I'd say you're funny because, you know, you take the hate and you fucking, you.
I embrace the fuck out of it. Like, I don't care. Like, I really don't. Cause what are you telling me that I haven't heard since growing up? You know what I'm saying? Like, like, I have people who don't like me for absolutely no reason. Believe it or not, I don't do anything to anybody. I go to work. I do music, I do my shows, and I mind my business. Mm-hmm. And I support everyone in the local scene. And best believe, there's always at least one or two people don't like me for, I don't know why. I never know this why. I never understand why. They meet me in person, shake my hand, give me my flowers, tell me I'm such a great artist, and I do the same thing. Couple months go by. All of a sudden, now there's this sudden dislike for Gusta Savage. It's strange as fuck, but that's another thing that I don't have to give a fuck about. Mm-hmm. Why? Because it's not stopping me from doing what I do. I love this shit. I eat, sleep, breathe music. My house, my room is a studio. I wake up there. You know what I'm saying? So nothing that they could throw as much hate at me as possible, bro. They could say, fuck you, quit music. You suck. Your album is trash. It's gonna flop. I will not give not a single fuck out of my pocket. Why? Because this is somebody else who lives where? In Scranton. Yeah. No. Not just on the internet. This is somebody who lives here. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. These are people who live within our area who are also doing the same thing that I'm doing, hating on what? The opportunities that I've gotten, the I guess you could say success that I've accomplished. Bro, these are people that I can give them their flowers too. Like, oh my goodness, like they're doing so great for themselves. So I combat the hate with telling people how great they are and telling them to continue to be the best versions of themselves that they can possibly be. And I don't feed into the negativity because I used to. And if this was like 18-year-old Gusta Savage, bro, I'd be telling people, suck my dick all over the internet, bro. Fuck you. I'm better than you. And no, absolutely not. I'm better than nobody. I'm better than myself. I'm better within myself. I'm talented, as are a plethora of artists in the area who I fucking love to death. Without even meeting them, I just listen to their music. And I'm like, okay, this person's fire. Or even if they're not good, I still support it. Why? Because when I started, I wasn't good either. Nobody starts off great unless you are a born talented person. Nobody starts off great. And I support it until it gets above and beyond. Mm-hmm. And it does. Too Humble is an example.
Young man, I met him.
I've known him since before he was Too Humble, since he was just Eric.
Eric, yep.
And when he started rapping, I saw it. I acknowledged it. It wasn't the best. Like I said, neither was I. But from start to now, just like that, growth. He was dedicated. He showed that he wanted it, and he proved it. He's now dishing out great content, great music. He's working with Steez, who I also have experience working with. I started working with Steez when he was only 17 years old. I was 19, he was 17, making music in his room. Now he's up at Encore.
I know Steez, man. I've heard the name. I've heard
Mikey
the name.
Smith. NASCAR racer, baby. Shout out to Steez PA, man. I love that guy. And his family. They're great people.
I don't think what artist it was who also mentioned that they worked together with him. He's like, yeah, if you don't know him, he's like, he's... It might have been Jay Lotus. It might have been
probably. I wouldn't be surprised because Steez's name is out there. Everybody knows him for what he does. He's a racer. He's a engineer. He's a fucking producer. Steez does it all. Like, he's a hardworking entrepreneur. Like, and everybody hates him too. There's a lot of people that hate him. There's a lot of people that love him. And I've grown to accept that within life because no matter where I go, it could be here, Florida, New Jersey, Philly, there's going to be people that love me and there's going to be people that hate me for absolutely no reason, there's nothing I can do about it except continue to be positive and not sink down to the level of what they're trying to accomplish, because people want to get me riled up because I feel like they want to see what kind of reaction I'm going to give. And when they get a positive reaction, I feel like it pisses them off even more because it's not what they're expecting. And it's okay, because I'm not going to give you what you want. I'm not going to sit here and indulge in this negativity that you've tried to present to me. I'm going to tell you something positive, and I'm going to go about my fucking day. I'm going to go eat some food. You're going to continue commenting 15 comments back to back. I'm going to be sleeping, taking a nap, waking up to make another song. I don't care.
You know, so with that being said, it reminds me of the skit that you had in the album, It's Okay If You Don't Understand. Mm-hmm. And the skit, was that the name of it as well?
No, the skit was the skit's called Caller on Line 1, featuring John Popko.
Yes.
And I'm going to go into that. I want to go into the fact that John Popko was on that song, or not song, the skit.
Dude, he's got a fantastic voice, man. Yeah, he's...
Popko was on the radio a couple years ago, 2019, Alt Natives. He had the station where local music of all genres was getting played. And that was my first time being played on the radio. So I had him involved as a sort of like a nostalgia factor. Like, you were the first person to announce my song being on the radio. I want you to be that same person that's on this skit pretending that we're on a radio show answering callers from fans. So Caller on Line 1, I came up with that idea because my album is called It's Okay, You Don't Have to Understand. And I often feel misunderstood because, like I said, people hate me for no reason. And all I do is dish out positivity and care for everyone. So Caller on Line 1 is essentially an example of something that I would deal with. Bickering or slander or heckling. That's the word I was looking for. Heckling from a fan or heckling from a hater, like, oh, you should quit music. Your music sucks.
And then, this guy.
Yeah, like, right? And then at the end of it, you know what? I really don't understand your music. It's okay. You don't have to understand.
Mm-hmm.
And I live by that. If you don't understand my music, it's okay. You don't have to understand, because maybe it's not meant for you to understand. But eventually, you listen to it more, you might be able to understand. You know what I'm saying?
And you have such a diverse, you know, throughout that whole album, it's a diverse track list because, yes, you know, you got stuff like Slow Down, Sped Up, a little bit of, you know, hip hop, pop vibes, some R&B, you know, Pretty Little Faces. That's a really good song. One of my favorites has to be Identity. You know, it's crazy.
Shout out to my boy Jex. He produced that track and featured on it too. So that was a fun song to make.
It's a super fun song, man. That's a really upbeat tempo. And
you know what
really
that means, Jex? We're going to have to make a music video for it. Calling it right now.
I think I would love to see that, man. I think I would love to see
sick.
That. Because, you know, the Emperor, no Cusco, like that's one of, like, so my favorite part is it's one of those choruses that is a complete verse in a sense. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's like, if you listen to it enough as a listener, it's one of those verses that you could just ride along with it, and it's like, damn, you know a pretty good decent amount of the song. It's like, nah, this thing slaps. Like, it's such a fun song. I really enjoyed it. I was talking to Michael. I'm like, oh, do you know Cusco? Do you understand that reference?
Yo.
And unfortunately, he doesn't.
What? Oh,
he doesn't, God. Bro. He was deprived of Disney as a child.
You were deprived of Emperor Cusco, bro? Come on. So yeah, that's Jex on the hook. When he sent me that, I was like, oh my God, this is going to go crazy. And that song is basically about, like, it speaks to where I'm going in a sense of, like, me being multi-genre. Like, I have a lot of identities, so, like, mm-hmm. I don't know which one to choose, you know what I'm saying? So that's where that comes from. And then, like, my verse, I don't know my identity might turn into a Boogie clone, you know what I'm saying? A Boogie is one of my inspirations for why I started to do melodic, so... Yeah, identity is fun. Identity speaks for the many identities that myself and Jex have. And It's a fun song, and I hope to do a video for it soon.
Well, hopefully we see that video one day, man, because that's a really, really fun song. I really enjoyed that one. And, you know, with the identity factor of it, you know, there is a song.
Like a vapor?
Yeah, of course.
That's going to be a clip. You know that, right?
What, you vaping?
No. Like me asking if I could vape in here. Like, oh. I'm going to turn that. It's going to zoom in. I could vape in here?
Yo, Mike, pass me your vape. You don't have it? Oh, okay. So as I was saying, so with the identity factor of that song, you know, I see your track list later. I'm listening to songs. And one of the ones that really caught my eye because it was a really cool conceptual song was Gus versus the Savage. Ooh. Okay, because that song very much so told me that there is definitely two sides of you, and some of it you're not proud of, but it's still a part of who you are. Absolutely. So that was some that's a real conceptual song, bro. Like, you were in your fucking head for that.
So Gus versus the Savage is a remaster of a song that I released back in, I want to say 2020, for an album series that I was going to try to keep on doing as the years went on, because I started it off as a mixtape series. The first mixtape series was Savage 19, and then I moved it to album form with Savage 20. Excuse me. And Gus vs. the Savage came out on the album. Throughout that year, I was having like the biggest musical crisis ever. I didn't know what direction I wanted to go. So I took that song down, and then during the creative process of It's Okay, You Don't Have to Understand, I'm thinking in my brain vault, and I'm like, yo, I got some songs that I took down that might deserve a re-release because they were either too early for its time or they're gone now and people actually like them. So why not remaster and re-record and re-release? So Gus versus the Savage, that came to me during a time where I understood that within myself, there is a being that is pulling the strings for what I do. And if it wasn't for that inner being, I wouldn't be able to be who I am right now.
What is self-consciousness, like awareness? When did you feel like that was true? You know what I mean?
When I started making new music, when I started to expand my horizons, and when I stopped like just thinking about rap music and I started making more melodic stuff and people were liking it more than my older stuff, I didn't want to be the old GTS anymore. So this new personification of myself was starting to show. And then my inner being, like I said, the one that pulls the strings, they were in control now. So that's where all the new content was coming from, this inner being, because I never had the thought process of doing these things. So when I made Gus versus the Savage, that the Savage part, like, you know, what did I say? Oh, you think you can get rid of me? Now, homie, your ass is mistaken. Been living inside of your soul for like half of your life, so your body is taken.
With a demonic overlay on it.
See that nice little brain of yours that makes you music? Yeah, all of that shit comes from me. If it wasn't for me, your ass wouldn't be shit in this whole damn Scranton music scene. That is me accepting the fact that if it wasn't for me bringing out that inner Savage, I guess, and changing directions and finding the right way to do things, I wouldn't be able to be as successful as I am today.
I like that, man. I like that. That was great because, you know, you mentioned that, you know, it felt like you were in a scene that was toxic and then you had to step away from that. Uh-huh. So, you know, in a sense with the demonic voice, it kind of puts that toxicity onto that voice, the verse, and then it kind of just brings it paints a picture, you know, is what I'm trying to say. It paints a picture of maybe sometimes you had to be the Savage in that scene. You know, we all want to sit here and, you know, take hatred, flip it into positivity. But sometimes we all slip and fall. And sometimes maybe that hatred did fuel and they did get that reaction. You know what I'm saying? So That's that putting it all together in one picture.
So check this, right? So I've been doing music for over a decade. When I first started out here, everybody knew me for being a rapper, right? So you think you can get rid of me? Now, homie, your ass is mistaken. I have now rebranded myself. I show that I do multiple genres. People still will associate me as Gus the Rapper. You think you can get rid of me? Nah, homie, your ass is mistaken. I can never get rid of that aspect of my life because that's who I am to certain people. Like, oh, Gus the Rapper. Oh, my God, you're the hip-hop artist. Oh, yeah. Bruh, do you not, have you not been paying attention? Like, I'm in a whole band. Hello? Like, what are you talking about right now?
We're definitely going to get into the band. I'm excited to talk about the band, a different direction. But I just wanted, because there's still so much versatility between in just this one album.
That's a new word, diversity.
Is it a word? Did I just make that up?
Yeah, diversity.
Yeah.
You were mixing words right there.
Hey, we dropping
diamonds. The Middleman Podcast Dictionary. That's the first word.
And don't forget to like, comment, subscribe. Mm. You know how that goes.
Hello.
So perfect. You know, you have In My Head, which In My Head is just, I wanted to say, just give you some feedback about that one. But In My Head was one of those songs that is definitely self-reflecting in a mirror, you know. And you and I had a conversation on the phone, man, and you're a real good, genuine dude. You know what I mean? Like, you are a good, genuine dude.
Thank you.
And you go through the trials and tribulations of life, as almost anyone does. But, you know, everyone has, I have a certain respect for you because you told me what you actually go through, you know, family man. And
bro,
what you
people
have to
think,
do on a day
people
day.
Think this is a facade. Like, people yeah. think that my life isn't real. People think that the story I tell is fake. I grew up in the fucking Bronx, in the projects, like where I could have walked outside my building and gotten shot anytime. I could have walked inside of my building, gotten stabbed in my elevator, in my staircase, by anybody. It didn't matter. The things that I went through in life are very real. I just don't, I don't like to present that aspect of my life because I done did a lot of shit that I'm not proud of. And for people to be like, oh, nah, your story's fake. It's not real. Bro, you want me to show you? I gotta show you? No, that's where it all comes back into, I see what you're doing. You're trying to say that I'm not real so you can get
some real shit.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to give you that. But I done been through mad shit, bro. Like, I done seen a lot of shit, did a lot of shit. Not proud of a lot of the shit that I didn't seen, bro. But, like, this is very real. Like, and what I go through every day to this day is very real. Like, all this you see right now, this chain, whatever, this is... This is me for the cameras. Like, back home after this, I'm going to take care of my grandpa. Like, that's what I do for work. I take care of my grandparents. So I'm with him, taking care of him. If not me, my sister. If not my sister, my cousin. If not my cousin, then the other lady who works for him overnight. But that's my job, bro. I take care of my grandfather, and it's hard because he's got dementia. So with him having dementia, there's a lot of times where he'll fall to an infection. So we got to take him into the hospital or... He'll have a moment where he's having a dementia episode and there's no controlling it because that's who he is right now. He's 82 years old and he's got to deal with that. And that, me seeing him deal with that and me having to care for somebody that is like that is very difficult to manage. It's managing his life and managing my life at the same time. I got to call doctors for him, set up appointments, take him to the appointments. Like everything for my grandfather, and it gets hard. So I'm juggling that and juggling music and juggling my own personal life and dealing with my relationship with my child's mother and my daughter and all that, bro. Like sometimes I want to jump out of a window, but what keeps me going is knowing that my daughter's here. The love that I have for my daughter keeps me here and music. And I love my grandparents too. And if it weren't for them, I wouldn't have a job right now. I get paid very well to put them in great care. Under our care, they're golden. Anywhere else, I feel like if my grandfather were to land in a nursing home or anything like that, it would be the end of him. So we take pride in taking care of our grandparents and doing what we can to, you know, make sure that they're good and still with us for more years to come. And I take pride in everything that I do. So for anybody to try to discredit anything that I do and say that nothing I do is real or nothing that I've been through is real, that I'm not, bro, you know how many people done told me I'm not from New York? Bro, I got to show you my birth certificate. Like, look, listen to how I'm talking right now. Like,
yeah.
I could transition from sounding like I'm from Northeastern Pennsylvania and sounding like I'm back from the Bronx. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a lot of things that I've been through in life, bro, like traumatizing shit that have shaped me into being the person that I am today. Like, I had to deal with a bum-ass stepfather that left us for my... Yo, bro, I'm not even going to get into that, bro. He left us, all right? And he was garbage for that. And I remember the last conversation I had with him. I was 16 years old, and I remember exactly where I was because I was on the corner of my block. And I'm talking to him, and he was like, no matter what, I'll always be there for you. Right? That was at 16 years old. I'm about to be 24 next month. Ask me if I've gotten a happy birthday, a happy new year, Merry Christmas, happy Thanksgiving. None of that. And I don't want it anymore because I'm grown. Mm-hmm. I don't need a father anymore. If I needed a father, I would have sought him out. And that would have probably been the worst thing for me anyway, because he's not even a great father to his own kid. So imagine him trying to be my father. He wasn't really that great throughout my childhood either. I never played catch with my don't fucking worry, stepdad, neither did I. Bro. I never played catch, bro. Anytime I wanted him to play basketball with me, like, he would be too busy drinking in the garage, smoking cigarettes with his brothers, bro. We'd go to Long Island. I'd have to hang out with their kids. You know what I'm saying? And that was fun. But, bro, we're away from mom. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love my mom. God rest her soul. We're away from mom. Like, we're having father-son bonding time. Like, spend time with me. Nah. We didn't do any of that. I wanted to be on sports teams. He never put me on any sports teams. I didn't do anything sports-wise until I came out here and I went to school. Like, I wanted to do so much as a kid that he didn't involve himself in. And it sucked because if my biological father was alive and well, that would have been the greatest dad in the world. Because number one, that's my biological father. Him and I share the same name and we share the same interests, music. So that man right there would have guided me to so many places that it's not even funny.
Did you know him?
I didn't get a chance to meet my father. He passed away when I was 5 months old, but the stories that I can tell you about my father that I just recently obtained from family members from his side that I have found after 23 years. My dad used to go to Orchard Beach. It was his beach in the Bronx called Orchard Beach. Play the gongas with a whole group of very famous, talented salsa singers. Celia Cruz. An example, my dad played gongas with her. They used to all like be chilling by the beach on the boardwalk singing. Like my dad was lit. Like he used to be outside the project buildings playing the instruments, bro. And people would come up to him and dance with him. My aunt would go down there with beer and dance with him. My dad was a drinker. So that was his thing, like to get drunk. A lot of people done told me some crazy shit about my dad that I don't even know if I could share. But my dad was a Rolling Stone.
Gotcha.
And I aspire to be like him, not in that aspect, but I want to keep the music
alive.
Yeah. I want him. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm very family oriented. Like I love my family, despite my family also being not as united as we once were. I love everybody equally. I don't care who hates each other at the time. I don't care if you got beef with Tito and Tito's not fucking with Jeremy, bro. I don't care because I'm going to Jeremy's house right after Jeremy's house. I'm going to hang out with Tito. But those aren't members of my family. I'm just giving an example. But yeah, like I'm so like family oriented and finding my brothers after 23 years.
Oh, that's wild.
Brothers. I did. I knew I had brothers.
Okay.
I always knew I had brothers. Gotcha. From my father. And I couldn't find them. But all these years, I had one brother's name. It was Chris.
And, that's crazy. That's my brother's name, too.
Yeah. Like, so how I found my first one was through Ancestry. My father's name was in this woman's tree. And this woman had a very Italian name. And I was like, my dad is definitely not related to you. So I did digging and I seen other Mejias in the tree. And I was like, excuse me. So I texted her. I was like, yo, like my pops is in your tree. Like, how? David, my older brother. That was the first brother I found. She was like, David is my child's father. David is your brother. He has a daughter named Lyric, who is my biological niece. Believe it or not, my niece is just as old as me. She was born in April, and I was born in October. So she was born first, and I was born after her. Nice name. Yeah, Lyric I've never had like a full blown conversation with her yet because I mean it is a bit overwhelming. 23 years out of nowhere, like you find out you have this uncle. But I do know that she's a great individual. She has two wonderful baby boys, and those would be like my great nephews. Something like that. They'd be my great nephews. But that's how I found David. I found my brother Daniel by accident because he never changed his phone number. And I was looking through this website and I just typed in Daniel Mejia and same number, New York. I was like, this is right down the block from where I used to live. I called him. He thought I was a scammer. He was like, nah, I don't got no brothers. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, bro, if this is you, just say it's you. Like, I'm not looking for no money. I don't care how much money you have. Wow. I just want my brother. And we got on the WhatsApp, showed each other our IDs. He was like, oh, shit. I was like, yes, oh, shit. And a couple months ago, I met him in person for the first time. And that was the greatest experience that I've ever had. And then that same day, we met Chris on FaceTime. When my brother Dan came down, I called my brother Chris on the FaceTime. And we all met on.
What a unique situation.
Yeah. Man. And believe it or not, I've always had a brother throughout my whole life. Like my brother Attila, that was my brother.
Watch that wire. No, you're good.
My brother Attila, he was there throughout my entire life. And, you know, he may not be like my blood biological brother, but his family accepted me as one of their sons. Attila. So, yeah.
Was he on the diss track?
Huh? Attila? Oh, no. Attila was on the skit.
Yeah.
He's the voice behind the crazed hater. But Attila, that's my older brother.
Peep that.
And gotcha. His family accepted me as one of their sons. So I've always called him my older brother. I call Flo. That's my other older brother. So I have two older brothers that I've always looked up to growing up. And Attila was one of the many reasons why I know how to throw my hands properly because he was into boxing. Mm. So he taught me how to do it. My uncle, you know, he tried to, you know, teach me a thing or two about the 1, 2, 3. But, but Attila, yeah, he was there to help me throughout that. He was there throughout the start of my rap career. Like Attila has been there through pretty much everything. And so has my best friend, Dan, who is basically my other brother. Like I am black, Italian, Puerto Rican, and Dominican, all because of the amount of families that I've been accepted in. That's as wonderful. One of their sons. So shout out to Dan the Man, who's my best friend. Shout out to Attila and Flo, my older brothers. Shout out to David, the other Dan the Man, and Chris, my older brother. Shout out to my sister. That was the first sibling that I knew because my mom had two of us. She had her first, me second. You know, first is the worst, second is the best. We didn't have a third because we didn't want anybody with a hairy chest, but
I get it. I'm a clan of four. We come from a clan of four, my family and I, you know, older brother, little brother. He's only 2 years younger than I am. Three years, possibly. I don't know. Anyway, I'm blanking. What is it? Four or five? Is it five? It's five. Thank you, Michael. They're the same age. Yeah, little brother, five, and then my older brother's 2 years, and now we got a little sister. She's a part of the clan now.
Okay.
She's going to be five.
Welcome October to the club.
1st. Yeah, man. It's
October 1st? October. Yeah. Let's go.
OVO, just out baby. Of nowhere, man. Just like.
Dude, it happens.
From left field. Thought mom was done. It was crazy.
But it happens. My sister, bro, like my sister had four, right, before having the fifth one. And the fifth one came by surprise, too. Like, we all thought she was done, and then out of nowhere, she was like, guys, pregnant. I was like, what? Uncle again. And then I fast forward, I have my own little one too, so that's
lovely, man.
That's crazy.
Listen, I really want to get into, I have like two more songs I wanted to talk about, but I just want to really get into your new projects, Almost Paradise.
Yes, for please, sure, let's talk about it.
Let's just fast forward then. Pretty Little Faces, Gabby, shout out Gabby.
That's a great song. Shout out to Revenue. First of all, let's talk about real quick the Gusta Savage self-titled and the It's Okay You Don't Have to Understand, produced by Nate Will, Revenue Bangers, my boy Dimitri, Jex, like they all had hands within that, those two projects. Shout out to Gabby for being on Pretty Little Face. That's an old song. That song was first recorded 2019.
Dude,
so,
she killed it. Her vocals were amazing.
Yeah, we redid that song.
It was great.
I love working with Gabby. She's great. What else? What else?
Congratulations, the outro. That was real. I like.
Yeah,
I like,
yeah. So that's the only rap song on the album.
Like a tribute, man.
Kinda. Yeah. Pretty much like this is what Gustus Savage used to be, and now you won't get it again. Kinda.
Loved it. Loved it. Pretty Appreciated much. It. Yeah. So Gustus Savage, definitely check out his music over there. Check out that newest album. But let's talk about Almost Paradise.
Let's talk about it.
You've been a part. You're in a band now. Let's get into it, man. What's up?
So Almost Paradise started as a concept idea in 2019 with Gabby, because I wanted to start an R&B duo, since her and I meshed so well together. I was like, yo, like, let's just do this, like, full time, like, you and me. And she was behind it for a little bit, but school got in the way. Mm. So she went to school to be a dentist, and I think that's what she's currently
Everyone
doing now.
Needs like clean
she's
teeth.
Yeah, she kills it. She's killing it. But we couldn't do that, so I put Almost Paradise on a shelf. And then being around this area, bro, like, you see that there's so many fucking bands.
There's a lot.
A lot of the times I'm getting put on these shows with bands. So, like, imagine R&B music. I'm doing, like, Chris Brown covers, and then I'm doing my smooth R&B shit myself. And then after that, you hear, hoorah! I'm like, oh, shit. All right, well. And I used to always, like, be discouraged about bands. Like, growing up around here, I wouldn't say growing up, but, like, living here for the past couple years.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck these bands, man. Like, they get more shine than us. Oh. And then after a while, I was like, oh, okay. If you can't beat them, join them, man.
Yes, sir.
So Almost Paradise was always in the back of my head. I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start a band myself. Because I tried to join a few bands in the area. I wanted to be lead singer for a couple bands that I won't name, because we're all still cool today. So, like, there's no sweat because I have a band now. So. It is what it is.
That's awesome.
But I tried to join some bands, and they were like, they either denied me or like, they were like, they just didn't answer.
Did you like send in an audition or?
Yeah, I send clips. Mm-hmm. Like, I can, and half the bands that I asked to be in have seen me play live before. So like,
they're familiar.
I already did my audition. You know what I'm saying? They're familiar. So April, I was like, you know what? If I can't join one that's already made, I'm going to make my own. And I mocked up the logo for Almost Paradise, slapped it on something, and I was like, pop punk band. That's what we're doing. And Almost Paradise from April to now has changed so many times. Like,
as in the members?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. At first it was me, Shane, Beta, and Brad. Brad left us. So then it became me, Shane, Beta, Austin on drums, because we didn't have drummer at first.
Wait, Beta? I know Beta.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know Beta. Okay.
Yeah. So it went from Beta, Shane, Austin, and me. Beta left. So then it became Shane, Austin, and me. Then we got Phil. So now then it became Phil, Shane, me, Austin. Shane left. So then it became Austin, Phil, and myself. Now we have myself, Austin, Phil, Tyler, and Dom. Full piece band. So Dom plays bass, Tyler plays rhythm, lead guitar is Phil, and Austin's on drums, and I just do the la-la-las.
Mm-hmm.
Two members of my band, Austin and Phil, play for Fatal Misconception. They won, and that night, at the St. Town Music Awards, when Dan went up there, because that's who was presenting the award. His name is Dan. He went up there and was announcing the nominees for Best Metalcore of the Year. And when he said the winner was Fatal Misconception, bro, I cried. First of all, I was low-key a little bit lit. Secondly, they work too hard to, like, not have gotten that award that night. And bro, the range of emotions that was going through my head, like hearing the announcement, seeing them on stage accepting the award, them getting off stage, and all of us like sharing an embrace. Like, I love what they do with Fatal Misconception, and I would love to see more of them around the area, because they've performed around here. They're getting back into the groove of things. And Fatal Misconception, be on the lookout for Fatal Misconception, because,
okay,
bro, killer fucking band. Phil kills it on lead guitar and vocals, and Austin goes crazy on the sticks. Not only do they kill it for Fatal Misconception, but when it's Almost Paradise time, they rip it the fuck up too. So shout out to Austin and Phil for not only joining me in this journey of being in Almost Paradise, but continuing to pursue the fucking rawness that is Fatal Misconception. And shout out to Tyler and Dom for also being included in this fucking wacky ass roller coaster. Shane, Brad, Beta for being involved in the very beginning stages of Almost Paradise and helping shape the sound. I feel like right now the direction that we're going, we just played our last show at the Bog. So we're going on a little bit of a hiatus, not too much of a hiatus because I'm going to be putting out content for Almost Paradise. But we're taking like a break from shows to work on original stuff.
Cool.
That way when we come back, we have more than three original songs to play and we're not like filling the rest of our set with covers. Because when we play originals, we thrive. Like I get into the covers when I sing them. But once Phil hits the first note of one of our original tracks, bro, I turn into a different beast. Like my hair's flowing and I'm like, oh.
It's like a different aura, man. Bro, it's such a different atmosphere.
It's two different. You literally see two different sides of me when you see Gustus Savage performing R&B smooth stuff. And then when you see Gustus Savage as a part of Almost Paradise, you're like, yo, I didn't even know like they could do this shit. Like
flip flop.
Bro, awesome. We are killer, bro. Almost Paradise.
Multi-talented.
To the moon. Hell yeah.
Here, let me ask you this, right? Almost Paradise. What's your ideal? What's paradise to you?
What's paradise to me?
Yeah, yeah. That's such a, you know, Almost Paradise, it's your band, I would
so
say.
So Almost Paradise, well, it's our band. Excuse me. I had to grow and understand what it's like to be a part of a group, so I can't say mine all the time.
Love that.
As much as I am, you know, one of the founders, I don't want it to just be, oh, Gustus Savage and Almost Paradise, because people wanted me to say, oh, yeah, you should call your band Gustus Savage and Almost Paradise. No. That defeats the purpose of being united in a group. So it's our band. And what was the question?
What's paradise?
Paradise?
Yeah.
So
almost paradise.
It's not so much. It's not so much what's paradise. It's what's almost paradise. And almost paradise is the realm between heaven and hell. So purgatory.
Crazy.
You're stuck there. Like you're trying to get to paradise, but you're like not quite there. So think about it like this. A whole bunch of guys who work 9 to 5 trying to get out of purgatory to go to where we're destined to be, like, which is the paradise.
Genius, man. That was well put together there. I really appreciate that. I was like an eye opener just now. Listen, man, we're going to transition into tea time. But before we transition into tea time, I'd like to give the floor to our guests. If there's any final messages you would like to leave for the crowd, this is your time, my man. It was a great time speaking to you, man. And really looking forward to this tea time.
Please, for the love of Jesus, if you are a music artist in the area, whether you be somebody who's in my age group, somebody who is older than I am, somebody who's just starting, for the people who are just starting, continue to keep doing it and thrive at it and make sure that you get the flowers that you deserve. Put yourself out there. For the people who are actively within the scene in my age group and higher, please stop with this nonsense of, oh, I hate this guy, I hate the next guy. How about we all like put on a big ass festival like he mentioned and get together in a big ass studio environment like they did recently at RealWorks. A whole bunch of creators went to the RealWorks studio. Shout out to North Star Films and Three False Prophets. All got together and created. And I feel like if we all did that, we would get farther in life rather than pointing fingers at who sucks and who you don't like. So I think we should break that cycle of hate and be more united as one, because as small as we are, we can make this shit big. You can listen to my music on all streaming platforms, Gustus Savage. Follow me on Instagram, GTS570, Facebook, Gustus Savage. I'm not hard to find. You could literally just type in Gustus Savage and you'll find me. Or you might get the Chicago politician, Gus Savage. Yeah, I get mixed up a lot. But yeah, pretty much, Gus Savage everywhere. Gus Savage, take over the world.
I appreciate you coming out to the Middleman Podcast, bro.
Thank you for having me, man.
Thank you so much. We're going to transition into tea time, not brought to you by, but inspired by Arizona Iced Tea. I am the man in the middle, Kevin Martinez, signing out. Peace.